We are admonished to stay awake, to be watchful, Jesus said. Stay alert, stay awake. It's a struggle to stay awake. How many have ever tried to stay up late before? Sure. And maybe you're not used to staying up past a certain hour, and you're just getting tired, and you're feeling, man, my bed would be really good right now. I remember working nights. And I was pastoring in New York, and I was working a night shift too. And it was a 40-hour night shift. And I can remember on the way home with the windows down and the music blasting and slapping my, I had a half-hour drive, slapping my thigh. And still at times feeling like I fell asleep with my eyes open. And it's tough sometimes to stay awake when you need to. And how many know that if ever there was a time we need to stay awake spiritually, it's now. And so the title of the message is Staying Awake. Staying Awake. And Ephesians 5:13 says, but all things are exposed and made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. The ESV says, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. When anything is exposed by the light, it becomes what? Visible. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if I don't understand the will of the Lord, I'm actually living as a fool. I'm sorry to say that, but that's true. My way is not the right way. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end is the way of death. We have to make a determination, a decision every day who we're going to follow. Am I going to follow Christ or am I going to follow myself? And the way of self-will is what Jesus referred to as the wide road that leads to destruction. And many go that way. Many will be destroyed because they chose the path of self-will. But they did not receive the way of the Lord. They did not choose the path of the Lord. And Jesus said, narrow, confined, difficult is that way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. The Lord has a way for each one of us, but in order for us to walk in His way, we have to prepare the way for the Lord. We have to prepare a way in our hearts. We have to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart for the Lord and for His purpose. We have to be in position for God to be able to anoint us and to use us. If we do not choose to stay awake, then we will be asleep. And Jesus said when He comes, He asked the question, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find faith on the earth when I return? We are witnessing a great apostasy right now. We are witnessing a great falling away from the faith. We are watching people who were once vibrant and alive and full of the life of Jesus growing cold and distant and falling away, being seduced and drawn into the world in the temporary things of this life. And they're being choked by temporary things, the worries and the cares of this world and the riches, and pursuing temporary things such as toys. I remember hearing a young man not too long ago say, I would come to church on Sunday, but I'm involved in a game right now. How unfortunate that is, because you're saying that a temporary video game is more important than your soul. Jesus said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What amount of money can you give in exchange for your soul. The only thing that can redeem your soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. But we have to be willing to come to Him and to separate ourselves unto Him, to sanctify ourselves to Him. We have to work at staying awake. It doesn't happen automatically. Some people think that, well, if God sends an angel down and speaks to me or gives me some direction, then I will obey God, you know. Well, what is it that you understand already? What is it that you already possess? What has God already made clear to you? Have you been faithful in the little bit that He's revealed to you yet? You see, a lot of times we're asking God to give us the big thing, the big picture, you know, but we're not being faithful with the little thing. It's no different than a good parent who would say, well, John, if your name's John, I'm not picking on you specifically today. If you're faithful, if you behave yourself, if you do your chores and you do a good job, then I'll increase your allowance. How many know there's a reward in obedience? How many know the Father wants to give you the kingdom? But He doesn't give His kingdom to rebels, to the disobedient. How many know that the things of the Lord are eternal? So we should be living for eternity and not spending ourselves, just wasting ourselves on temporary things of this life. I have that saying above my desk. I repeat it a lot, but it's a statement for my life. And it says, one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that is very true. And I had spent enough of my time wasting it on myself. And when I came to an awakening or an awareness of the will and the purpose of God for my life, I put away those childish things. I set them aside. I said, it's not worth it. Sometimes, without realizing it, this is the thing. We can lose our spiritual zeal. We can lose our enthusiasm. We can lose our joy. We can lose our love. We can lose that sense of awe and wonder as a child that's discovering. What's this for? What does this do? What does that mean? Why? Wondering, inquiring, wanting to learn, wanting to grow. Why do we ask questions? Because we want to learn and grow. We can lose our wonder. When your light begins to go out, then your vision becomes obscured. And you can no longer walk correctly. But the thing is, this is often the light is going out and we're not aware of it. And we're walking incorrectly as if we have blinders on and not even realizing that we're not walking correctly with the Lord. The devil wants to blind you. And he'll blind you with sin. He will entice you not only with things that are blatantly and obviously wrong, but with subtle things, with little things, even with good things, such as a video game that may not be a bad thing in and of itself, but it can become an idol that we put before God. A relationship, even an earthly relationship, can become an idol when you put your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend before God. That person has now become the idol, that you have put them in a higher priority than the Lord Himself. Jesus says you need to love me more than all these things. So He asks the disciples, do you love me more than these? Oh Lord, you know. He asked Peter. We can lose our joy. We can lose our love. Our love can grow cold. The light begins to get dim and we become blinder and we, without realizing it. I've been baffled by some people who are living a certain lifestyle and yet they claim to be followers of Jesus. And they don't seem to have any conscience about it. And I'm like, but it's a very obvious thing that God has shown us in His Word, that these are things that He disapproves of. And yet, to not even be concerned or not even be aware, you know, of that, that the way that you're walking is actually incorrect. Why is that? Because of spiritual blindness. What God wants to do is He wants to wake us up inside, and He wants us to stay awake. So either you need to be awakened or you need to be reawakened. Because unless we have light, we can't see. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We need to come out of dead things. We need to quit focusing on dead things, living for dead things. We need to start living for eternity, living for the Lord, living for the kingdom, living for that which abides forever, which is the will of God for us. The purpose of God for us is the eternal thing. Amen? And what a shame it would be if we gained the whole world but lost our soul. And even Jesus said, "He who does the will of my Father abides forever." Continues forever. How many here are doing the will of God for your life today? You know you're living and walking out the will of God for your life. All right. So what did Paul tell Timothy here? He said in 2 Timothy 1:6, "I want to remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And that means to kindle a fire as by bellows. So stir up, he said, Timothy, you need to stir up the gift of God that's within you, that you receive through the laying on of my hands. In other words, sometimes the gift of God lies dormant in us because we fail to fan it into flame. And Paul told, listen, he told Timothy, "Timothy, you are responsible for stirring up the gift of God within you. You stir up the gift of God within you." God gives us His gifts as a stewardship. We are stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And He says, you need to stir up that gift that's within you, that you receive from the laying on of my hands, an impartation, amen, of the grace of God through the apostle. Now, who's responsible for the gift of God within us? We are. I am. You see, a lot of people, they wait around for something just to happen. And they die spiritually in the process of waiting for something to happen. Because they had not learned this principle that you are a keeper of the flame. God is the supplier of the oil, and God is the one that lights our fire, but you and I, as a priesthood, are responsible to keep, amen, that flame burning. It's my responsibility to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be full flame for Jesus. Because without that, I can't see clearly. I may be walking in darkness and not even aware of it. Has anybody ever done that before? You've walked in a dark place and thought you were fine, until Christ shines into your heart and gives you light. And now all of a sudden you start to see things a little bit differently. And you're saying, wow, thank God for that. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit, remember, He doesn't convict us of anything without supplying the grace for us to be set free from it. And the problem is that sometimes we can just become spiritually lazy and we don't stir up the gift of God within us. Through inactivity, that gift can lay dormant in you. Faith always requires you and I to step out in belief that God is going to do what He told us He would do. So if I believe that God inhabits praise, for example, then I will audibly praise God with an expectation that as I'm praising Him, He's going to fill me. It requires action on our part. It's not enough to say, I believe, and believe in your mind or in your head about something. You can believe that Jesus died and rose again in your head and yet not be born again. Because confession with the mouth is made unto salvation. I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart. If I am confessing Jesus, His blood, His righteousness, amen, by the Holy Spirit, it's a sign that I am born of His Spirit. See, we've gotten this thing, I know it was St. Francis of Assisi who said, you know, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I think some of us have taken that to the extreme to where we don't use any words because we're just preaching the gospel by the way we live, and people don't know a clue about what you really believe because you won't open your mouth and tell them about the love of Jesus. And you're not going to be able to tell them about the love of Jesus, first of all, if you're not abiding in the love of Jesus. And secondly, if you don't open your mouth for God in faith, believing that God will fill it. It requires action. So Paul told Timothy to stir up, put the bellows on that gift of God within you. Stir up the gift within you. And then he said in verse 7, right after that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. This is the reality. If we are in Christ, this is who we have in us. This is the spirit God has given us. It's not to be fearful, but powerful, loving, amen, and self-controlled. Self-controlled. Verse 8, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. He ties this right in together with the stirring up of the gift of God and then the testimony of the Lord that is to be shared. Amen? Without shame. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Sing it. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, self, sound mind. And it says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Here Paul was suffering and he was incarcerated for his testimony of Jesus. And he's encouraging this young brother in the Lord not to be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus. Amen. And Paul had suffered much for the testimony of the Lord. But we know that Paul entered into a better resurrection. Amen. But he said, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So he makes this connection. Now, I want to say something here, because even in the face of persecution, we should have the ability, by the grace of God, amen, to stand and speak the truth in love, even when there is opposition. Because you and I naturally do not have what it takes to stand up for Jesus. Peter had to learn that lesson, that even though he was a rough, tough fisherman, that in himself he did not have what was necessary for him to be God's spokesman. And so he required, amen, first of all, it was required of him to be broken, to be humbled, to come to a place where he realized first that what I'm called to do is bigger than me. It's beyond me. And I have to now depend on the grace of God to do what I'm called to do. And that put him in a place of humility. And remember, the river of God flows into the low places, to the desperate hearts, to the hearts that say, Lord, I'm poor in spirit. All that I have is from you. I can't help anybody except that you're working through my life. Amen. And I want that gift of God within me to flow out and touch others, to minister to others. But we have to take the bellows of God's Spirit, amen, to that gift. We have to get that flame fanned again. How many have ever done camping, right? And you got that little ember in there. Sometimes you wonder, man, are we going to be able to make a fire out of that? But boy, you get the on there, you know, and you put the right kind of stuff around it. And that's what we need to do spiritually. You see, because the problem is this, once again, is that sometimes we sit around, we wait around for something to happen. There are some people who have been in church 40, 50 years. I mean, all their life they've been going to church. And you say, well, God's got me around for some reason. I'm still here for some reason. Well, you mean you've been a Christian 40, 50 years and you still don't know what that some reason is? You understand? This is how it goes. Because it's a day by day, hour by hour thing. And before you know it, you look back and another 10 years has gone by. And you have to say, what have I done with the 10 years? Have I lived out the will, the purpose of God for my life? Or am I just kind of spinning my wheels like a hamster in a wheel, not going anywhere, spending maybe a lot of energy, but really not accomplishing anything of eternal value? I need to stir up the gift of God. I need to get that thing in full flame. I need to understand. I need to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. I need to know what God is telling me to do. Amen. Because I don't want to come before Jesus today and say, when you say, well, what did you do with the gift I gave you? What did you do with my divine deposit in your life? Well, Lord, I was afraid. I hid it. I don't want to be that guy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so you got to stir up the gift of God within you. I can tell you what one of the best ways to stir it up is praise. Praise and worship. Prayer. Amen. And obedience. Stepping out. Obeying the word that you get. Oh yes, God's going to challenge you to go beyond yourself. Why? Because what we're called to do is beyond us. Now on the other side of this, I want to just share a little bit about this. On the other side of that, you do have people that are very outspoken, but they're brawlers. They take the word and they use it against people. They clobber them with it. You know? A lot of times because they're bitter or they're angry. And so they take and use the word of God deceitfully. And they use it as a weapon against people. See, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Amen. And remember, we're not wrestling against what? Flesh and blood. So what are we dealing with? We're dealing with a devil. We're dealing with a spirit world. Amen. And those spirits get behind people and people do crazy stuff. But it's not the person, it's the devil behind that person. And so unfortunately, sometimes the person gets singled out. And sometimes by well-meaning Christians, but they begin to use the word against brothers and sisters. Against them. How many know that God has given us His word because He loves us? And God was not willing that anyone should perish. The Lord wants to reconcile the world to Him. He wants to draw people to Himself. Amen? He doesn't want to slap them away. He wants to draw them in by His mercy and by His grace. Amen? And there is a time and a place for a rebuke. There needs to be correction. Amen? But what spirit are we operating in? Some people are just plain brawlers. And I'm not going to name names, but I have heard some preachers that have a smart aleck mentality. And they use the word of God, but they're like a smart aleck when it comes to people that don't know or don't understand. Not only unbelievers, but even fellow believers, where they go around crucifying the character of anybody that doesn't see things exactly the same way they do. And they have this smart aleck spirit about them. And I'm here to tell you that is not the spirit of Christ. They mockingly laugh at people who maybe not have been in some type of error. How many know that that's not God's heart? God grieves, the Spirit of God grieves for people who are deceived. And He's not willing that they should perish. God wants them to be wakened up, but it takes the love of God, amen, to break through the veil of our hearts. The Word has to be preached in the love of God. Are we keeping you awake? In Ephesians 5:14 it says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So what is God saying? He wants you and I to awaken our spiritual zeal. He doesn't want lukewarm Casper milk toast. Some of you know what that is, but limp wrist Christians. He wants a people that are full of Him, full of life, full of strength, full of vitality, full of light. He wants a people that are enthusiastic, that are zealous for the Lord in a good way. And that requires you and I, as keepers of the flame, to make sure that we keep, amen, the bellows on that flame, that we stay in prayer, that we stay in praise, amen, that we stay connected to God, that in another word, that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So why do I continually put the emphasis on being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because nothing happens except by Him. We can't do anything apart from Him. We've got to have His ability. We've got to have His power, His strength, His wisdom, His courage, His guidance. It's all of Him and not of us. And so our responsibility as believers, as a priesthood, is to be keepers of the flame. Amen? And that means that you have to keep that gift stirred up. And you keep it stirred up by activation. Activation means I need to open up the floodgate. You can have a reservoir inside you, but your responsibility, my responsibility, is to open up the floodgate and let it out. And God will press you at times. He'll say, "I want you to speak this. I want you to pray this." How many know that the weapons of our warfare, amen, is the Word of God? How many know that you need to speak the Word of God? How did Jesus defeat Satan? By speaking what? The Word of God. He spoke the Word, the sword of the Spirit. Amen. It had to be spoken. How are people born again? How are they saved? By the preaching of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. If you're going to hear a word, then it has to be spoken. And how will people know unless someone sent to them with a message? Amen. To preach the Word of God to them. But we can have a wealth of information. We can have a whole library on the hard drive of our hearts. But if we're not opening our mouth for Christ, then all it is just sitting there collecting dust. It's dormant. And guess what? If we don't activate that gift of God within us, after a while, we'll just become a stagnant pond where there's no life. Nothing can live in stagnation. The river of God is flowing from the throne of God. And every place where the river goes, amen, there's life. It comes to life. There's healing. You and I are the, if you will, the riverbed. We are the riverbed, and God's river needs a riverbed, amen, to flow through. And so maybe there was a time in your life when you were very vibrant and alive and excited about Jesus, and somehow along the line things have kind of just dried up. Can I suggest to you that you just simply need to reignite that flame? You need to stir up the gift of God within you. That's what He's saying. Stir it up. What is it that really lights your flame, if you will, for the Lord? What is your passion when it comes to the Lord? What do you want to do for the Lord? If money wasn't an issue, what would you spend yourself doing? What is your passion? That's the will of God working in you. And yet sometimes we may know what God is expecting us to do, but then we're having a difficult time actually doing it. What does it require? It requires activation. It means I have to actually take the step. When I prayed in the Holy Spirit the first time, prayed in tongues the first time, you know, a lot of people just think, well, I'm just going to, and then God's going to somehow just possess me, take over and start speaking through me. That's not how it works. It's a cooperative effort. We are co-laborers with Christ. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're praying together with God. We have to activate it by faith. Amen? So what is it that God's called you to do? Well, I know what God wants me to do, but I'm just having difficulty doing what he tells me to do. Well, God gave you charge of yourself, isn't that right? God gave you the thing called self-control. God has also given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's what you claim over your life. You don't receive that fear and that intimidation from men and all that other stuff the devil wants to throw at you. You know, every time you want to step out for the Lord, the devil wants to raise up a giant in front of you and to try to defy you and say, don't you dare. How many know that devil will come down if you step out for Jesus? No different than when David slew Goliath. He stepped out. It says that he ran at him. He says, out of my way, giant. You're coming down. Who are you to defy the armies of God? Amen? The people of God. So we need to be strong or bold in the Lord in the power of his might, according to Ephesians 6. How does that happen? Well, it comes through an activation by faith and a stirring up of the gift of God through praise, through prayer, amen, and through obedience. That's activation. I have discovered that when I step out for Jesus, even when I'm looking at it, say, oh, I really don't know if I want to do this. How many have ever felt that way before? You know what God's expecting you to do, but you just haven't felt like doing it. How many know that the part of you that doesn't feel like doing it is the soulish realm that has to die? It's the part of you that has to die. The part of you that doesn't feel like doing God's will has to be put to death. You have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Yourself often wants to do its own thing. Yourself is the wide road, remember. Self-will. But the will of God is a narrow, straight, difficult place. And it requires you and I to be activated in the Spirit, stirring up that gift within us. And by simple steps of obedience, God will release that out of you. Hallelujah. One more, okay? Ephesians 6:18. I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation. It says, pray in the Spirit at sometimes, all times, and on some occasions, every occasion. Stay alert. Do you see the connection? Praying in the Spirit and staying alert. And be persistent in your prayers. Oh, we got this drive-through window mentality today. No, I lay me down to sleep. You know, no. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, right? If we don't faint. So if you keep sowing in the Holy Spirit, eventually there's going to be a cloudburst. Amen? Eventually, what you have been sowing will be released back to you. So we keep praying in the Spirit on all occasions and at all times, believing that what I do, according to the will of God, will not return void, that God, in His time, will reward those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Stir up the gift of God within you. fan it into flame. Folks, I want to tell you, I'm not talking about a pep rally here. I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord, amen, working in us. My responsibility is to keep the flame once again, amen, to keep the oil supplied, amen. God lights the flame and God provides the oil, but my responsibility is to keep that flame burning, amen, within me, and that requires me to be obedient to the voice of God and to step out for Him, to do what He tells me to do. And I've never been disappointed when I've obeyed the Lord, even when I didn't feel like it and I told that part of me to shut up. Oh, come on, there's lots of times. I'll tell you, there's lots of times I haven't felt like doing something. But I knew God was moving me to do this. And so you know what I do? I pray a lot. I said, Lord, make your will my desire. Make your will my desire. I want to desire what you desire. And I want to hate what you hate. But stir up that gift of God within you. Don't be dormant. Don't be lacking in zeal. Stay awake. And he said, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. This is Paul saying, pray for me too, that I can have the boldness to speak God's plan. Amen? Pray for one another. Pray for each other. Pray for yourself, though. And ask God to give you the strength, the ability, amen, to supply the oil, if you will, into your lamp that will keep your flame brightly burning, amen, so that you'll be a light, not necessarily just being noisy all the time, amen, even though I like to be noisy sometimes. You didn't know that, but now you do. But we need to be living out loud for Jesus. I want to live out loud for Jesus. How about you? I want to be a person who's not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ because the Spirit of God is overflowing me. And I'm so caught up in the love of God that there's no fear in perfect love. And when you're filled with the Spirit and overflowing in the Spirit of God, you have a confidence to speak the name of Jesus without fear. Without shame. So you got to stir it up. You got to pray. Cry out to God. Folks, I tell you, it works like this often for me. I will walk. I like to pray and walk, but I'll walk and I'll cry out to God. And there's sometimes, I'll tell you what, it's such a struggle some days. But I don't give up and I don't give in. I don't allow the oppressor, amen, to shut me down. I fight the good fight of faith. I lay hold of on eternal life. I get a hold of God and I pray until the Lord quickens me by His Spirit. Until that reservoir within me begins to break loose. And then the rivers of living water begin to flow out of my life. And I'm able with boldness to speak the Word of God in love to people without a shame. Without being ashamed. That's what we're called to. Stir it up. Turn to your neighbor and say, stir it up. Hallelujah. Would you stand? God bless you. There's one more way, folks, that we stir up the gift of God within us. Are you ready for it? By fellowshipping with one another. Amen? We got to be in church. You got to be together with God's people, all right? As often as you can. Hallelujah. We help each other. Yeah, for the reward, right, ceremony, we're going to come here and support the Royal Rangers and Missionettes. They'd love to have people up here watching them get the rewards. So God bless you all. Let's lift our hands right now. Say, Lord, I ask you to inspire my zeal. Fill me with the fire of your love. Burn in me with holy passion. Purify me and make me your own. Yes, Lord, I will live for you. I will open my mouth and give you praise in the congregation of saints, among the people, and throughout the nations. In Jesus' name, I can do all things. For you are the strength of my life. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Glory. You see how that you got stirred up right there? Amen. Thank you, Lord.